Father God, I thank you so much that you are a mighty God that's working and moving all around the world. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who's moving in this church. And Lord, you are moving in churches all around Taipei City. Lord, you are moving in churches all around Taiwan. Lord, you are moving in churches all around the world. Lord, we have people here from all around the world. And Lord, we are praying for different churches from all different parts of the world right now. We're praying for church leadership. And we do pray, God, that your work would continue to be done through all these different churches that we've prayed for and for churches that we didn't pray for. Lord, we pray for churches that are under persecution. God, may you continue to encourage those people and continue to strengthen them, that they would hold on to the gospel no matter what they face. And I pray, Lord, for those churches that aren't facing persecution, that maybe are becoming complacent. Lord, may they hold on to the gospel no matter what they go through. And Lord, we also want to pray for pastors and churches and missionaries. Lord, we pray for Ilavarasan that's in India. Would you encourage him as he plans to church? He desires to plant a church there. We pray for Michelle. Lord, we pray for Wesley and Ting Ting. We pray for John and Evangeline in the U.S., Wesley and Ting Ting in the U.K. Lord, we also want to pray for our brother Alan File, who's planning to go back to the U.S. to do specifically student ministry. We lift him up to you. We pray for the Pilsons that are wanting to plant a church in Wanhua. Lord, we pray for the Sanchong Church. We pray for the Linko Church. Lord, we pray that as we continue to support and want to see your kingdom come and your will be done around the world, Lord, would you provide the finances? Lord, would you provide the help and support, the friendships and the churches that are needed to support each of these people that we're praying for? And God, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as we look to your word now, and I thank you so much for Pastor David who has come from the U.S., as we look to your word and as you speak through him, Lord, help us to know that it's not just his words, but Lord, it's your words that are speaking to us now. Give us open hearts and willing hearts to learn and listen to your truth and to obey. I pray, God, that you would do a mighty work through the preaching of your word today. And I pray that you would be the one, through the Holy Spirit, that you would be the one teaching us, that we would learn and grow through this time. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, you may have your seats. And I want to introduce our guest speaker to us here today. We do have a whole team here that has come to be with us in Taiwan from the U.S., from both California and from Seattle. And so if the whole team could actually just stand up at this time so that we could recognize who you are. And so they've spread out all around. So let's welcome them. And you guys could have your seats. And what they're going to be doing is I'm going to be introducing Taiwan to them throughout the week. And also they're going to be joining us at the FCNI retreat to help us out during the retreat. And so we're just so glad that they're here. Pastor David is the pastor at Grace Redeemer Church in California. He's married to Ruth, who is joining us here today. And so Ruth is right there. And they have two daughters in college. I think it's still the case. He has graduated from the University of California, San Diego, and has over 30 years of pastoral ministry experience in the church. He graduated from Talbot School of Theology in the year 2000 with his MDiv degree, and he has a passion in knowing, experiencing, and equipping others with the power of the gospel. He loves cycling, backpacking, and cooking in his spare time. And by the way, he does a great, like, barbecue. And, you know, the many years that I've known him, I'm just so thankful for the friendship that we have together. And so now I just want to invite him up to deliver God's word today.
Thank you, Pastor Peter. Good to be here with you, brother. I guess you went to our website and got the bio. That's an old one. All right. Good to be with you this morning. Please be patient with me. We flew in this morning, landed at the airport, I think 5 a.m. And I told myself, last year when I came, I was a zombie and I had to preach. And then I was like, okay, focus on sleep, you know, in this flight. And I did. And I feel great. I feel energized to be with God's family here in Taipei City. I brought a picture of our family. I want to show that to you. Our girls are going to graduate. Both of them are going to graduate from college. So in a couple months, we'll be fully empty nesters, meaning my wife. And so we're going to be loving life. But that's my dog. We adopted him a couple years ago. I think I shared this before, too. His name is Levi, and we gave him a last name, Jones, because we thought it rhymes really well, Levi Jones. So that's my happy family. And thank you, Martin and Rosie. Good to see you guys. We met you guys this past June last year when we were here. And thank you for your testimony. I was really encouraged by that. And God bless you as you begin your new chapter in Indonesia. I want to just begin with the question, what is God's mandate for the church? I think if we look at Scripture, it's very, very clear what that mandate is. There's really one mission of God's church. The mission of God's church is to make disciples of all nations. Doesn't matter if you live in America. Doesn't matter if you live in Taiwan, Indonesia, Japan, wherever. God calls the church to go and make disciples. Jesus himself gave us this mandate. In Matthew 28, he says, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always." You know, with this church call very clear in our heads, in our minds, in our hearts, I mean, we know this mandate, the Great Commission. And this is a commission that we get from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But the question that I was kind of wondering as I was preparing for this message is, what is God's wisdom for us actually as we go? As we go into the world, what is the manner in which we should go into the world and make disciples? In Luke 10, we get some wisdom from one story that we see in the Gospels. It is a story of the 72 disciples where he sends the 72 two by two into town. And as we look at this story, I think we will learn, how are we to go into nations? A few years back, thank you for the intro, Pastor Peter. I do enjoy backpacking. I like going into the wilderness, you know, carrying all that, all the stuff in my back and just trying to survive the night. I've been backpacking by myself in the California wilderness. And it's just something that I enjoy, being in God's creation. Well, one year I had this great idea. I want to take my church to backpacking. And we had about four people volunteer to go. And they've never been backpacking. And I wanted them to have a good time, but also I wanted to bring them back alive, because they were afraid, because, you know, things could happen in the wilderness. You know, I've seen bears, I've seen mountain lions and such, and you just got to be prepared. The biggest thing is the weather, right? You could freeze to death out there. So I told them, they were just nervous, and so I gave them a checklist. This is the actual checklist I gave to our church members. Like, this is the stuff that you need to bring, all right? And I even did the plan, exactly what's going to happen in that weekend that we went. PD is just, I guess, my initial, Pastor David. I don't know why I put PD. I should have put, yeah, anyway. I told them, I have all those for you, so just don't worry about those, but others remember to bring. Well, in Luke 10, the story that we're going to look at, Jesus also gives a checklist to the disciples that he sends out. And it's very interesting if you know the story. Do you know what it contains? Don't take anything. That's what it contains. And I want to look at this story, because what is that all about? Right? How would you like to be a part of a mission trip where the leader says, don't take anything? What are we to learn about this, right? What kind of trip is like that going to be like? And so I want us to really explore, because I think the story will teach us some really good wisdom about how we are to go into the world. So let's begin the story by looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. Let's set the context a little bit. After this, Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now the 72 disciples were not the original disciples, but during Jesus' earthly ministries, there were other disciples that followed Jesus. And in the course of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus gave these 72 disciples a special task. And that is to go into a town and prepare for his eventual coming into the town. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, indicating that there are many in this town who are ready to repent and believe. And their job was to go in and prepare for Jesus' eventual coming. And so as Jesus wants to send these 72 and split them into twos to go into this town, what are the instructions that he gives to these 72? And the question is, how are they to go into the town? First, Jesus instructs them to go in weakness. Let me explain this. Look at verse 3 with me. It says, "Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Man, I don't know about this, but isn't it kind of funny? Jesus says, I wanted him to say, "We're wolves, right? We're lions, eagles, right?" I mean, that would bring some more confidence, right? As he's sending out these disciples, right? I want him to say, "I am sending you out as roaring lions, right? Or powerful eagles, right?" I mean, we got God, the Almighty God, on our side, right? But Jesus says they're going as lambs. I want you to go in. I want you to go to Indonesia as lambs. I don't know if you ever had a chance to see an actual live lamb. I know we like eating lamb. I think you guys like eating lamb here. I don't know in Taiwan if you guys like eating lamb. I hope I didn't offend anyone here right now. But I don't know if you ever actually saw a lamb lately. They don't strike me as a powerful image, right? They're more cuddly. I just want to like cuddle and hug that little guy, right? I don't know if you've seen their teeth. They're pretty straight, right? They don't have like sharp teeth or fangs. I don't know if there's any lamb experts here. The feet, right? They're called, I don't know if they're called hoofs or something else. I don't know what they're called. I don't think they have like hoofs, right? They're pretty like, there's no claw. It's just like a flat thing, right? It's not going to hurt anyone, right? Lambs are an image of power, right? In fact, in the Bible, when they use lambs, it's really about how they can't survive without a shepherd, right? So that's Jesus' recruitment pitch to the disciples. I want you to go as lambs. I don't know about you, but I would have second thoughts, okay? But things get pretty worse. Look at verse 4 with me. "Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." I mean, you should really be concerned now, right? Jesus gives a checklist what to take on their mission task to go into town. And it's basically just blank. I know last year, I believe, Friendship Church, you went on a mission trip to Philippines, right? Who went to that trip, by the way? Can you raise your hands? Okay, Grace, some of you, right? Maybe they're in the second service. I know it was I think one of the first time, at least as Pastor Peter's been here, many of you went. But can you imagine it, Pastor Peter, as you were preparing, right? Told the team, you can't take a suitcase. No money, no computers, don't take anything. grace, would you still go? Now, be honest. I know Pastor Peter will still go, for sure, right? He'll be down for something like that, a venture. What is Jesus teaching the 72 that he's sending out? I think Jesus is teaching us a timeless truth. He's teaching us mission thrives not on what we carry, but on who carries us. When we live a missional life, it's not ultimately about our skills, even our knowledge, our resources. Jesus is teaching the 72 that he's sending out into all of us. God's work is done in the position of weakness, which leads us to trusting God. Do we enter God's task? As God calls us to live a missional life, doesn't matter if you're a missionary pastor or you're working a full-time job or a student in the university or high school, junior high, you're called to a missional life for God's kingdom. And do we enter that with this mindset of weakness? Because that leads us to trust in God's presence in our lives. In fact, lamb doesn't sound too bad because we have God helping us. Next, Jesus tells us, go available. Look at verse 5 through 8 with me. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborers deserve his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. And if you were the 72, you're going to start wondering about logistics, right? You're going into town. Jesus said, don't take any money. Don't take any, like, knapsack with clothes. Like, you're going to be wondering, what are we going to eat, right? What is ministry going to really look like in this kind of position? Where are we going to stay? Jesus knows this is what these disciples are thinking. And he tells them, right, what's going to be happening. As we were planning to come to Taiwan for months, we were planning. There's a church in California, which I'm from. There's another church from Washington State. So two churches we've been planning for months. We've been thinking about what the ministry is going to look like. We've been in contact with Pastor Peter for months, trying to plan well for the retreat. We wondered the same, where are we going to stay? We got a couple of Airbnbs that Polly helped us to get. What are we going to eat? We looked at a bunch of YouTube videos, right? You could give us recommendation after church, right? And the 72 are wondering the same, right? They're wondering about the logistics. And Jesus tells them, hey, enter a stranger's home, pronounce peace, stay there, and eat whatever they give you. He gives them how the logistics is going to look. Maybe you've heard of this saying before from a missionary or pastor. Maybe a pastor, Peter, even said this. A missionary told me this. Wherever Jesus leads me, I will follow. Whatever Jesus feeds me, I will swallow. What was the missionary trying to teach me? I think he was trying to teach me, don't let minor things become the major thing. Yes, planning is important. Okay, planning is important, but that's not the ultimate. I don't want us to disregard order and planning, but we have to keep planning in perspective because we don't want to miss why he sends us, and why he, Jesus, was sending out the 72 in the first place. If you look closely, the reason he sends them out is for the people. That's the major thing, right? Doing a missional life is to bless people because we're blessed. And so if you look at Jesus' instruction to the 72 very carefully, verse 7 through 8 again, look very carefully. Listen to what Jesus says. After he kind of tells them what the logistic is, he says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is before you. I want you to just catch this. Disciples follow what Jesus tells them to do, to go. And Jesus reminds them, your basics are going to be provided. But Jesus directs them to focus on relationship. He tells them, remain in the house. If they welcome you, stay there. Right? Like, you don't have to keep moving. Just stay there and focus on the relationship that God has opened the door for you. And so what we see here is he's really bringing attention, right? As Jesus, the disciples are thinking, the 72 are like, what's the logistics? Jesus said, okay, that's going to be taken care of. But when you go to a house, have fellowship with them, build deep relationship with them, be available for people. Details are important for ministry, but don't get lost in the minor things. And the major thing is for the people. We're blessed to be a blessing. Next, Jesus reminds us, go in confidence. Verse 9, it says, heal the sick in it and say to them, kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus gave these 72 special miraculous power to heal. And we know in the story, they even had the power to cast out demons to authenticate the message of the kingdom. We're not going to be discussing if miracles are for today, but often in the New Testament, when these miraculous gifts are evident, it is to really authenticate the gospel message that have not been established in a city or a country or a province. And so these towns, they don't know about Jesus. They don't know about the kingdom. But Jesus gave them special powers, or even to cast out demons, to heal, cast out demons or to heal, so that they might authenticate the message of God's kingdom when Jesus eventually comes into that town, so that they could receive the message of the gospel. If you think about this special ability, okay, that the disciples had, it's not their power, right? The power came from God. God was working through them. So they would go into this town not with the confidence that they have, that they would have the power, but they would have the confidence that God is working through them. I think this is the great privilege and joy of the Christian life. As we serve God, God gives us incredible abilities, and we call them spiritual gifts, right? He equips us to complete a task that he calls us to build up his church. And because of the way he equips us, we could go into the task that he calls us with confidence, because God adequately provides that power. He provides the way so that we can accomplish his will. Lastly, Jesus teaches us to go in joyfulness. Let's look at verse 17 to 20. We're going to jump down to the end of the story. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. You see, it says the 72 returned with what? Joy. They were ecstatic. Oh my gosh. All that Jesus said, it came true. We weren't weak. We went dependent on Christ and God, right? We were available for the people. And they used God's power to heal and cast out demons. They came back, reported, right? This is like a debrief meeting with Jesus. And they came back so joyful. Lord, even the demons are subject to us, right? But Jesus' response is very interesting. He isn't fazed by their power of the demons. Jesus says he actually saw in eternity's past how Satan's fell, how Satan fell, his demise, right? And he also knew that nobody was going to hurt these disciples. And so in Jesus' mind, he knew that they would come back victorious. He would know that they would have power over the evil spirits, right? He's the eternal Son of God. He's seen everything, right? And guess what he says next? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What is Jesus really saying here? Is Jesus really not happy with what actually happened? I'm sure he is happy and, you know, glad. But I think he's redirecting the joy, right? He said, don't rejoice in your success. True joy is in your salvation. The greatest miracle isn't what God does through you. The greater miracle is what He's already done for you. This is the heartbeat and the fuel for our joyful mission in doing God's work. That's the energy. That's the motivation. That's the power that we go into the world. That the Father, the Heavenly Father, is for us. Our names are written in heaven, meaning we will have an eternal relationship with God. Right? This joy is not anchored in how many people will come to your ministry, how many people will be saved, how many prayers will be answered. I think those things will come in God's sovereign time. We can rejoice in that. We can bring glory to God. But the greater joy in your life as you serve God, no matter who you are, we're all called to be missional in our lives, right? The greater joy is the joy of our salvation. And so, whether it's success, whether it's rejection, hardship, no one can undo that miracle of God saving us. That's a miracle. We should rejoice in that. We were all spiritually dead. Have you ever seen dead people? They can't do anything. Spiritually dead means you cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. This is why in Ephesians, Paul says this. You were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked following the course of this world. We were dead. No hope for us. But God, verse 4, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses,
Do we make us alive? I don't think so. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is a miracle for all of us. God saved spiritual dead people like us, dead in sin. So we are His testimony of His grace. We are His testimony of grace. That testimony fuels our mission to bring God the glory. And God will use us to advance the kingdom. So whether you're from America, Taiwan, Indonesia, Japan, Philippines, God's grace fuels our ministry, our witness. God's grace, Martin and Rosie, will fuel your ministry in Indonesia. The advancement of the gospel is done by joyful people of God, because we know we're a story of His grace, a miracle story. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us of the call, the ultimate call in all of our lives, because it is in that call where our personal goals finds its purpose and rest. And Lord, we, as your people and as your children, we have a story to tell that you saved sinners like us. And so Lord, help us. If you saved us, people like us, you can do great miracles through us to heal other people who are dead. And so, Lord, as we do this incredible task of spreading the good news, Lord, help us to know that the power doesn't come from us. It comes from you, as we depend on you and to gaze on Christ, who is our Savior, so that others might gaze on Christ as their hope. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.